Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth again on WJCB Radio. Okay, hoping you are having a great day, and God bless you. Now, this week we will finish up the vine, the one and only vine, there is no other, and then move right into another one of the series, and that will be the way, the only way. Amen. I will let you know when we go ahead and make the break, but for now, let's go ahead and get back to the vine. In John 15:7, Jesus said, if the most important word in the Bible, if you will abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Wow. The perfect prosperity teacher's verse. But have you ever met someone who could ask God for whatsoever they will and it be given to them? No, either have I. Now, that is unqualified. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. No qualifications here. You can ask for money, or you can ask for houses or land or cars or health or even revenge. Oh no, it is unqualified. But please know, it is not unconditional, but it is conditional. To be able to ask what you will first, and even in the verse there, we must abide in him and his words must abide in us. Now both must be moving at that same time. We must abide in him and his words must be abiding in us. Then we can ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. Not because we profess Christ as our Savior, or we go to a big church with four services of 5,000 people, or we are used of God to feed and clothe people at the local food bank. Oh no. Now all of this may be good, but they do not meet the qualifications Jesus has set up to ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now, I hope you can see this, my friend. In all of God's precious promises, we cannot receive a single promise of God if, there it is again, we are not one of his children, and we must meet the condition that God has assigned to each one of those promises. Every promise has a condition from God. Peter in 2 Peter 1:4 tells us, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then in verse 8, Peter tells us the condition for meeting that we must meet for verses 5, 6, and 7. For if these things be in you, and abound, or grow, or mature, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the condition of verse 8 is to have, you're ready for this, diligence added to your faith, virtue added to your knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindliness, and to brotherly kindliness charity. Now most Christians do not see the requirement which meeting God's conditions. Well, maybe that is why most Christians lack the true rewards of God. But what is the key here in John 15:7? Well, it is oneness with Christ in purpose and intent. And maybe, I guess, why, you know, many have never met someone who could do that, that could ask whatsoever you will. Can you imagine that? Ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. And maybe, well, maybe because they're not abiding in the vine, and his words are not abiding in them. Both must be moving at that time. Amen. Oneness in God is so important. And God is continually working by his Spirit to make this oneness relationship with Christ and us happen as we abide in the vine. So we need to abide in the vine so that we can come into that oneness relationship with Christ. And unless we do, well, it's just not going to happen. It is the true relationship. It is the only relationship the Father has established for us to be able to ask whatsoever of the Father. Let me say that again. It is the true relationship. It is the only relationship the Father has established for us to be able to ask anything of the Father. We don't ask the Holy Spirit or Jesus, but the Father. That's right. I heard a very well-known and respected pastor one day and a Bible teacher say that the Holy Spirit is the boss today of the Trinity. Well, I almost fell off my couch because I liked his message usually, but he kind of, you know, said a lie here. We never pray to the Holy Spirit or Jesus. Let me say that again. We never pray to the Holy Spirit or Jesus. Remember, it is our Father who art in heaven. But we always pray in the name of Jesus. Jesus is divine and we are the branches. What a wonderful relationship the husbandman or the Father has set up for us. That is not only complete dependency on our part, but it is complete provision and responsibility for Christ as our life. Let me say that again. That relationship, this is not only a complete dependency on our part, but it is a complete provision and responsibility for Christ as our life. Amen. And now let us go ahead and change topics a little bit while we keep our spirit open as we begin to look at the way, the one and only way. There is none other. Of course, one of the main verses in the Bible that talks about Jesus being the way is John 14:5-6. And here Thomas was, yes, that was doubting Thomas, says unto Jesus, we know not, you know, where thou goest and how we can follow in that way. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not the light, but the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Have you ever wondered about the way God would have us to walk? Wow, let that sink in with him. Thomas wanted to follow Jesus, and hopefully you do too. But, you know, so what is the way? What is the way that we are to follow Jesus? Or have you wondered about the way to please God? Or the way to live, or even the way to live with God and even ask him, you know, for prayers that can be answered. Wow. There are many ways out there that we can walk with the Lord. The answer is right in John 14, believe it or not. The answer is right in John 14. But because we have turned Christianity into a legalistic religion, we miss the simple answer. Simple things in God are always the easy answer, but they're always the correct answer. And the answer is, Jesus is the way. Wow, Jesus is the way. Now, that really doesn't seem like a deep spiritual answer, does it? But it is the answer. How can a person, that would be Jesus Christ, the way, you know, be the way to the Father and all that pertains to life and godliness? Well, we usually limit this to the fact that through his redemption, but Jesus made a way back to the heart of the Father. Let me say that again. Jesus has made a way back to the heart of the Father. But no, Jesus did not say he made a way. He did not make a way. He is the way back to the heart of the Father. But what did Jesus say in John 14? He said, I am the way. I did not make a way. Oh no, I am the way. That, my friend, is far more reaching than making that way. Wow. What is Jesus talking about here? Well, my friend, please tune in next week and you will be able to get the answer. Jesus says, I am the way. Tune in next week and you'll be able to hear the answer to that question. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting that you are going to have a tremendous week. And that's up to you, not up to God. God wants you to have a good week. God doesn't want us to, you know, be in troubles and so forth, but God wants us to focus our heart attention on him. And as we focus our heart attention on him, then good things will come out of that. Amen. So tune in next week and we'll hear more on the way, the one and only way that God has established for us to walk. You know, we think we can go in our way and we think, you know, this is another way, but I'm telling you, my friend, there's only one way to the heart of the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, and we will talk more next week. Amen.